Yep.
We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. I think everybody's prepared on the agenda. Go to the public panel. We'll go to the agenda review, if there's anything to be added.
Mayor and council, just want to inform you of an updated sheet on pricing for the streets project, which I'm sure the engineers will go over in their presentation. Other thing I have is forecast for City of Hamburg by the Met Council. Unless there's any discussion on that, that can be done under consent agenda. And then just basically updated delinquency and claims list.
Anything else to add to the agenda? Or is it up for motion?
Motion accepted.
Requisition. There's a second. Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda, adopt the agenda with the additions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the consent agenda.
Move to the consent agenda.
There's a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to Mr. Newmark with the Cub Scouts. If you'd like to come up there, we can get you on recording. And if you signed in or if you haven't yet, please do.
Hi, my name is Ryan Newmark. This is Nathan Just and Brayden Ketcher. We are here on behalf of Cub Scout Pack 261, which serves Cologne, Hamburg, and Northern America. And the reason we are here is to ask the City Council if we would be able to use the Lions Shelter on Saturday, May 16th from approximately 1:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon for our PAC meeting in May.
I think originally they were looking for the building here, but we have a rental that day, so they're looking for use of the park instead.
We're looking for a building in Hamburg, but the thing is normally we meet in America, and because we serve Cologne, Hamburg, and Norway, America, we're looking to start diversifying and meeting here once in a while, meeting in Cologne once in a while, and still in Hamburg or in Norway once in a while.
It's a good idea.
That way, for you with can see us in the community.
How many from Hamburg are involved? No?
Probably a handful, but without pulling the roster, I'm guessing about a handful. Most are from the country.
That's fine. I just didn't know if it was a bunch or, like you say, a handful.
I'm guessing five.
Okay.
Five out of roughly 30 that are enrolled right now.
Okay. Council, any? They're just looking for the shelter, I mean, to the case of rain or...
Right.
I move to approve.
Your second?
I guess I don't see any wrong as long as they kind of make sure it's kind of tidy up when they leave.
Anywhere you go, they expect that.
Yeah. My second.
Motion made and seconded to allow the use of the park shelter for the Cub Scouts on May 16th. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Here.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Yeah, just call city offices and we'll make arrangements.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks,
man. We'll move on.
Good for you,
sir. Yeah.
To folks from SEH. Justin, I don't know the name of the young lady.
What did we tell you, Allison Joshua?
Allison's a graduate engineer, engineering training. She came on board with us about a year and a half ago. And she has been helping us with design work and inspection work. She did some inspection work last year in Blythewood and Gaylor. Allison helped me put together the plans that we're presenting this evening and some of the cost estimates. So I wanted to be here this evening. And as we move forward into construction, she'd also be the on-site inspector or RPR person. So we wanted to introduce her this evening and give her a few
welcome.
Hamburg City Council meeting. So I've got a presentation here of the plans. So for Bob and Richard, you may want to just turn your chairs. And as Jeremy had mentioned, we brought with an updated cost estimate and a representative of the plans in front of you tonight. And at our last meeting, we talked about developing a set of construction documents that included a base bid and three alternates. So I'd like to go over through each of those with you tonight. This is just a zoomed-in version of the project area itself. And put my laser pointer queued up here. The base bid project is Jacob Street from Henrietta to the city limits line. Alternate one is Sophia, which would go from Jacob all the way to the very east edge of Sophia, and then it would include just a short little piece of Railroad Avenue, which would really complete this whole northern section or northern route of the community. Alternate two is the parking lot, and I'd like to review three different options for that parking lot with you tonight, in and of itself, alternate two. And then alternate three is replacement of that hydrant on Sophia, and we'll spend a little bit of time looking at that. This might be a little bit hard to see. This is the typical sections for the each of the street improvements. I'm going to actually flip back a page and talk from this sheet. All of Jacob Street in the base bid project would be what we call a reclaim and overlay. We grind up the pavement, compact it, and then we put in a bituminous overlay on top of that new base material. For Jacob Street, we're proposing a total of 4 inches of bituminous. Just because of the amount of traffic on the street and the condition that it's in now, it'll be a little beefier section. It'll hold up the trucks and traffic a little better. On Sophia Avenue, from Jacob all the way over to Louisa, that's where the UFC entrance is, that section of roadway, again, would be reclaiming the pavement, grinding it up, and there we'd be putting on 3 inches of bituminous pavement, which is the same as what we did on Roberts a couple years ago, which is sufficient for your standard residential traffic. This section from Louisa all the way around on Railroad, when we did the corings, the pavement thickness there is 5 inches. It's a heavier street section because of the industry there. So in that location, we're proposing on milling off the top 3 inches of pavement and just remove that pavement, leaving the bottom 2 inches of pavement, and then paving over 3 inches of new pavement over the top. So we'll still have a total of 5 inches of pavement at the end of the project, but we're saving those bottom 2 inches just to save some cost. All of these street sections will have drain tile installed just inside the curb line, and they'll all have sump pump service lines extended out. Again, same as we did a couple years ago on the Roberts Street project. So each of the homes will have availability to connect in. When I walked the streets here a couple weeks ago, I walked the entire route and took a look. I'd say more than half the homes do have sump pump lines out on the street. So it's a good thing we've included for all the homes and we'll have the availability to connect up for them. And then as far as the parking lot goes, the existing bituminous pavement that's there, we would again reclaim that, grind it up, lay it out, and then put 3 inches of pavement. And in a minute here, I'll show you some options for expanding the parking lot into the gravel area. We did go out there and had the city staff take the skid loader and dig in to see how thick the gravel was. The gravel's not much thickness in the gravel there, so we'd want to dig out about 12 inches. We found about 12 inches on the top, so dig out about 12 inches, put in a good gravel base, and then pave 3 inches on top of it, just so that it would last for a long time. So those are really the typical sections of the pavement sections. So I'll kind of skip past the sheet number two, which really outlines that in detail for the contractor.
We talked at one of the meetings here about doing something along the west side of the community hall at the street tag in this?
It is.
Are we going to do anything? Okay, so we're going to get rid of like the building there?
Yes, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But we are looking at doing something there for where the garbage bins are.
Okay.
Again, some more details of the project. Here we're showing that this is a cross-section, a cross-section of that sump pump service connection, bringing it out behind the curb. We remove one panel of curb and then bring the sump pump connection, put a metal rod in here so that you can locate it. But then it'd be the responsibility of homeowners to connect into that 4-inch line. Standard detail here for a new hydrant. There is one location where we're proposing on replacing a catch base. So we've included the detail for a catch base in here. That's the alley on Sophia. And I've got a picture of that. I'll share that with you in a minute. So this is an aerial view of the project, and this is the actual construction plans. We're showing the pavement removals here. There's a couple of catch basins that the frost has heated them up a little bit, so we would, as part of the project, propose just to not replace the catch basins, but adjust the grates or the drains down a little bit so they take water a little more efficiently. Now, Richard, you just asked a minute ago about this area along the community center. What we're showing as part of the project is installing a concrete apron right where this green block is, where the garbage dumpsters are. That seems to take, when we looked at it and visiting with Jeremy and staff, that seems to take the most abuse. You've got the garbage dumpsters in there, you've got the garbage truck coming in and out of there. So as part of this project, one of the options that we'll present to the council is putting some concrete pavement in right where we're showing the green area there.
In concrete because instead of blacktop because?
Concrete would hold up a little bit better with the turning movements on the front tires of the garbage truck coming in and out of there.
Right.
Especially on a hot day, you won't see the tearing or ripping of those two pavement. This is the north end of Jacob Street. The drain tile on the north end here will outlet off the end of the Township Road. A manhole and a gate belt to adjust as part of the project. But this would be, again, all of the base project going up to the very end of the pavement work area. This is, I'm going to go back. Right here, the alleyway, just a half a block south of Sophia. One of the things we noticed, it doesn't have an apron on it right now. Typically when we're doing these types of projects, a concrete apron is installed, kind of where I'm outlining here. And if you go to your cost estimate here, you broke out some of them costs. In the right-hand column in the red blocks, you can see the garage apron. If you install that, it's about $2,400 cost or $2,400 savings. If you don't install it, I'll be able to look at it. This alley apron here is about $1,000 concrete apron. It helps preserve the curb line a little bit. You can see you kind of end up with a pothole here right on the edge where the turning movement is, and prevents a little bit of traffic from coming onto the street. I guess if you're doing a project like this, we'd recommend including it. It's a nominal cost. So the top number there for the base bid on Jacob Street, about $125,000. And if you include the garbage apron and this alley apron, that cost stays the same, $125,000. It would be only if you deleted them that you would be done. So moving on to Sophia. Here's the north-south portion of Sophia. So right now north is up on the page. This is Sophia going east and west. Again, this would be the reclaim and overlay section. And nothing new to report here. When we get down to closer to Louisa, there's a alley section here, and there was some discussion last time about a catch basin that's giving you some troubles. We took a closer look at it. This is what it looks like. And from what we've been told, there's a lot of heating going on here. My thoughts on the situation is you probably have got some soil differentials here. You might have some bad soils that are frost susceptible. You're getting some movement here. Our recommendation is twofold. One is to replace the catch basin itself. The structure is in fair condition at best. It's not the best condition. We would increase the depth on the structure and put a sump in it to try to get it a little deeper so we can get a little bit lower in from a frost susceptibility standpoint. Put about a foot sump in there so we can get about a 4.5 or 5 foot deep structure, try to get below the frost in a little bit. The second thing we would do is remove some of the soil, put in a new gravel base, and then again, a new curb and gutter and a concrete apron here Putting that concrete apron on in the new catch basin would reduce the amount of frost susceptibility. What I told Jeremy is you still might get some frost movement in there, but with the concrete apron in the new catch basin, it's going to minimize it or decrease that frost susceptibility. So when we were walking the streets, I followed another situation. Here's a head-on view. Another situation in the city of Hamburg that's very similar, where you've got a catch basin and a concrete apron. So this is kind of what we'd envision it would look like after the project. So you have a new catch basin structure here. We put a square one in, high flow capacity within this concrete apron. So it'd go from this to this. And again, we didn't break that out as an alternate, but just because it's something that we feel is important in the project that should be completed. My understanding, we did some drain tile work here. We would include bituminous patch in this area with some gravel base just to kind of wrap this up. This is just across the street by the pole barn. So again, this is built into the project. So looking at the alternate one project, like I said earlier, it continues easterly all the way down to railroad. And when we get down to the segment on railroad, next to the building here, there's a stretch of curb that's in really bad condition. And we took some photos. This is across the street. This curb's in fairly good condition. It's old curb, but it's hanging together pretty good. The joints aren't too bad. There's not a lot of cracking. You just put some new sidewalk in here. We would recommend just leaving this curb in place, not doing anything with it. This is probably the worst separation of joints, and that's not too bad. So I would just leave that alone. You get across the street here on the railroad next to the building, what I referred to a minute ago, and there's nothing left. It's really in tough shape. This is a segment where we would recommend replacing that curb. It's about a $5,000 cost, but it's really something that needs to be done. And we go the full stretch here all the way along the building. There's a driveway access here, so we put a valley gutter section in or a drive over curb so that you can maintain access. It's like I said, it's about a $5,000 cost, but it's something we recommend doing as part of the project. So looking at alternate one in its entirety, about $175,000 for that work. Now we're down to alternate two, the parking lot. We've got three different options that we wanted to share with you tonight. So this is the area that's currently paved out at the park. And we took a look at a couple different options, and I'll explain some of the differences. Up in the right-hand corner here for each option, we show the cost, the area, and then how many stalls there are. So for this first option, we are expanding the parking lot a little bit. You can see underneath the shading, this is where the old edge of the parking lot is, kind of where I'm running my laser pointer. So you're coming out of another 20 feet, really squaring the parking lot off. Looking at the total number of stalls, 31 stalls plus two handicap stalls, and a cost of about $62,000. A couple things mentioning here. We would stripe the parking lot. Right now it's not striped, but it's part of the project. We'd stripe it. We show no parking here. This is right where you have your RV dump. We want to improve that. I got a detail here. We do a 3x5 concrete spill way, if you will, with a cover on it. It would make it a little easier for the RVs to dump in there, but more importantly, let's see if I got a photo of it here. Okay, here it is. More importantly, right now what's happening is water's running down around the corner and coming right into this basin and going into your sanitary sewer system. So when you get a big rainfall event, this is one of your I&I sources. So by building a concrete spill way around it with a little bit of a lift, we keep that water out of there, but still provide...
Justin, go back to that picture. On that, when building that, I'm just saying if it ever became an issue, would it be a possibility to create or put some type of cover on there you could lock?
We can take a look at that.
I mean, right now it's not really an issue, and I don't know what council's thoughts are, but I'm just thinking, you know, if it ever got to be an issue. I mean, the ideal of that thing is for city residents.
Yep.
I mean, not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry around surrounding sounds come in and dump their...
But it does happen.
Right.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying if it ever became a problem we could lock it up and they'd have to come up to City Hall, show proof of residence, we hand out the key, they can go down and dump, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you can put a clasp on the lock, that'd be one option.
I don't know what council's thoughts or opinions on that.
I'll just give you a for instance. usually they're down there the last day of vacation. If it's Memorial Day weekend, they'll be there Monday early evening or, you know, afternoon. And it's going to be tough to get some sort of key. I don't know if there, I can't say that there's 12 a year, maybe, that use it.
Okay.
It, you know, for RV purposes, it's not used a lot because it's not broadcast. It's
right.
Not.
Right.
It's just. It's just a convenience for, you know.
Well, that's good to know, because with this particular option, you can see we're showing parking on either side of it. So it's, you can still access, there's no parking right where that RV dump is, and you could access it there, but if it's not used very often, this option really would lend itself well.
Well, even when they pull up there, they pull up right close.
Sure.
You know, so you'd have to almost eliminate 5 spots there.
Right. And most of the time, if they're coming in on Sunday night, there's probably not a lot of...
There's nobody
parking.
There.
There's nobody there.
You know...
They can wheel right in there and not have any issues with that.
And if there is a doings there, they're not going to pull in.
Yep. They can come back another day.
Exactly.
You want to go back to that picture you were showing there?
You bet.
On the... There. I don't know what the council thoughts are, but you said it was going to be stepped out. Now, would you want that on the grass or sticking out so that snowfall can hit it? Where would you put it? I would want it back at the curb line.
Sure. That's something we can definitely do. Put it right on the curb line here. We can try to put some little elbow in here and get it
to the
curb line.
Moving snow, you know.
That's
that
a good
way,
point.
You know, something like
that's something we can take a look at.
Yeah. That was just a thought. I mean, I've seen that.
Because the thought process here in our talking is not doing a curb line. Just where you come in,
right.
You know, doing 10, 15 feet or whatever. What did you have proposed, Justin?
Yeah, about
you
20.
Know,
about
you know, just coming in, doing curb line and then grading it all instead of adding curb to it. I don't know what council's thoughts are. Then you're adding, you know, quite a bit of cost if you want to curb the whole thing. But our thought was to just make it butted up to the grass.
So you can see right now here, there's a little bit of a curb or a lip here, but not a lot, and it sounds like you're not having problems with people driving up on here. So just going back to the options here, these pink lines up here would be the curb that Jeremy's talking about. So we just have some curb at the entrances. Otherwise, you wouldn't propose any curb in the parking lot. For the stalls themselves, you could use the concrete bumpers like you're using now. Those bumpers that
and that's what Greg would like to do is use what we have existing, buy new, and what he'd like to do is pound rods in so they hold them in place.
So this would be one option. You'd have a little bit of gravel area here that's still exposed, and one thing you can do is the gravel isn't very thick there. You could scrape that off, use it someplace else, and seed this if you'd like to. So that you just have a defined parking lot with defined stripes. You have the bumpers along here, and then this you could turn back into green space if that's something that the city wanted to take a look at doing. Other than this next option, we showed it just because we thought the question might come up, what about angled parking, but I'll be quite frank with the council, I don't think this is a good option. It would require an entrance only and an exit only, and it would really get confusing. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it other than just to say we did take a look at it. But it's less stalls and it's not a good way to go. This last option extends the parking lot out to the very edge or limits. It has all the parking in the middle. This is the most expensive because we're paving the biggest area, but we're not gaining any extra stalls. You can see we're only at 27 stalls. That first option was 31 stalls. The only advantage here would really be keeping access or entry open to this RV dump at all times, but from what I'm hearing from the council, it's not used very often. So this maybe wouldn't be the best option either. It'd be costly.
That one would be bad too for functions, because you're going to have to drive around where people are going to be. If it's kids softball, if it's a anniversary, anything, you're going to be where people are going to be. You know, where if you stay in the parking lot, and park right here, you got to come around.
Well, do you want to go back
to
one and explain, Justin, there what you even talked about adding a lip there for a walkway?
Yes, One thing that I thought of just tonight when we were talking about with Jeremy is what we could do is, maybe easier to point here, I can't reach, I'll be really important. We could add about another 5 or 6 feet of pavement right along the outside edge so that people would still park where we've got shown here, but they could walk out in front of the cars rather than walking behind the cars. It would be a lot of extra cost, but you'd have a little extra pavement here to almost be like a sidewalk. And then people get out of their cars, they can come up in front of their cars and walk down to the event. Might be a nice safety feature to have for the parking lot. And I guess that's something that I would strongly consider.
What are you proposing for parking bumpers? Concrete or those,
little plastic ones?
The bigger and the heavier plastic ones. Not the hollow plastic ones.
Right.
But they make some of them composite.
Yeah.
More solid ones now.
But I don't think you have anything built in there for that, right?
I don't.
Right,
I,
no, it's just you're going to use existing, then we figured we could
right.
purchase them ourselves, and Greg could pick them up.
Because they're not deteriorating like concrete does.
I think they last forever. But Jeremy is right. What we decided to do is just leave those out of the budget. So you staff can move them out of the way, and then you can put them back. But I think Brad makes a good point. If you're looking to replace them in the future, you want to at least take a look at the composite option.
Is there a spot, and I know it could be your price on it and see what they have by getting how many of them? You know, so maybe not make an option, but make an option on that one. You know, if you buy 20 of them versus
just
five.
Just the information, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I can bring that back to also, and that's something you can do now or in the future, depending on the base size.
Be a future.
One thing that I'll mention before we leave the parking lot options here is it might be easier to go to the slide or the photograph here. The drainage for the parking lot kind of comes down. This is looking south towards the tower. Kind of comes down and meanders in this area. It really pools here. There's a little bit of a knoll. So what we would propose as part of the project, rather than having the city spend a lot of money on pipes and storm sewer and drains, is just to have the contractor do some excavation in here and some minor grading so that this water can continue to flow from the parking lot out between the ball field and the basketball to the lower area here and ultimately to the ditch. So I think it'd be some low-cost grading and a little bit of seeding. And it would help improve the drainage of the parking lot and the park itself. So that's what we're showing in the plan here is kind of a green outlined area that says grass swale. Again, it would just be some minor grading to remove some of the soil there and reseed that. And it would provide some better drainage for the whole area.
What are option one ones yet?
Yep.
Now, that one there is... We gain what, one more stall then, if we're not with that drain? You got that 32 then, or are you counting that one now?
No, we're not counting this one now, and I think I would leave that one as no parking. Even if you offset the drain back, I suppose you could have someone park in front of it. You have a bumper sitting there.
I'd delete that. I would use it for a parking spot.
Okay.
And then move that drain back.
We try to move the drain back.
We're looking to get the best.
Then you'd have 32.
The most. Yeah, 32 is one extra.
You got a drain back there, and then it would be a perfect, you know, another parking spot.
Yep. I mean,
and if there's a function going on, guess what? You got to wait till it's done. Back
there. Yeah. Is there something, Justin, about having how many handicapped spots for a parking lot like that?
Yeah, you should have.
What is it?
For anything under 50 stalls, you're going to have at least two. You guys need the code, and then as you get more stalls, you gotta increase. So, and the way we've got these positioned here, you got two stalls, and then we've got the required van access in between there. Mm-hmm. So it actually takes up three.
You only have to have one van access then for two stalls.
Right.
Okay.
So you gotta have at least one van access.
And I know that you gotta have for the wheelchairs coming out with the lift gates and things like that.
Yeah. So. Okay. You'll meet the minimum requirements here with what we got shown for the stalls there. And then you already got the signs out there, so we can reuse those. So I guess what I'm hearing from the council is this is the option to move forward with. concrete. Yeah. We can show on the construction plans that walkway. Like I said, the cost is minimal, but it would provide a little bit more of a safety feature here for Okay, the last thing on the project list, we've already looked at these pictures, so I'll kind of move through these quickly, is the hydrant replacement here on Sophia. And it would require some curb removal and then a little bit of driveway replacement. You might be saying, well, why do we need to replace the driveway? Well, here's where the hydrant's at. It's right on the edge of this driveway. So when they dig down and replace the hydrant, we move some of this driveway pavement and we have to replace it as part of the project. We took a look at the option of, well, what if we move the hydrant a little bit further away from the garage? We could maybe move it 6 inches or a foot at the most, but you can see where the wheel tracks are here from people coming around the corner. If we move the hydrant any closer to the alley, we'd start running into problems with people getting
a garbage truck.
So it's
garbage, maybe some bollards for this.
Yeah, that's a great point. We can put some bollards here, some posts sticking up to protect it a little bit. So we can add that, but the hydrant is in the right spot. We can move it 6 inches or a foot, but it's about the right location. So that's shown as alternate number 3, and because of some of the curb and sidewalk work, it's about a $10,000 line item. But again, it's an alternate. We'll see where the bids come in, and we can make decisions.
That was going to move across the street.
I thought it was going on right there.
Looked at it. I mean, it could be, but you're going to add probably $5,000 to $6,000 to it.
Yep.
And you can live there, and you know, the only thing is people cut the corners, but if you put some bollards there, 5-6 inch bollard, they're going to increase that before they increase the height. It's amazing that it's never been knocked over.
Don't talk, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But Brad's right, I didn't take a quick look at, is that the best location for it? You could move it across the street, but it is going to be another $5,000 or $6,000.
Okay, that was my fault. I'm fine.
Yeah,
right?
Frankly, frankly, it's probably not worth it. It's in about the best spot it could be in.
Okay. The hydrant is going to be replaced.
Yes, so this would be the cost that we have here for alternate 3. And again, once we get the bids in, we'll bring you back and then the council can decide what they want to do. But the cost to replace for alternate 3 would be replacing the hydrant, and that'd be a new waterless hydrant with the 5.5 inch pumper nozzle. So it would be new valve on the hydrant.
How much is just a hydrant these days?
No, they're running about $3,500 to $4,000 for that ballpark. So our estimates here is probably pretty conservative, but I don't think you're going to see any less.
No, I thought they were more.
They've gone up quite a bit. They're in high demand. So the last slide here is just the cost estimate. You know, I've kind of gone through that already. But each of the bold numbers on the top are totals. So all the proposed work on the base bid would be $125,000. And again, based on the discussion, it sounds like we move forward with both of those concrete aprons, at least in the bid. So that would be the cost of the base bid. The alternate number 1, including the curb on the railroad avenue stretch, would be about $176,000. Alternate 2, option 1 is the one that we're looking at, so that would be about $63,000. And then that hybrid would be just over $10,000.
Well, that option 1 is going to change if we go with the walkway in front.
Yes, they, you know, that might add $1,500 or something like that. They won't change significantly.
We're thinking at least 4 feet?
Yeah, that would be
like
4 feet.
Whatever
five.
Sidewalk yeah. is. Or
yep.
What's the bucket? In case we put our rails along there or cement barriers, what's the bucket at?
5.
Same as
the car is going to go with it.
I would do at least 5 so that you can walk along there. Like when Brad said, the car would be over, but it should probably be enough where you can walk along there.
Wheelchair is 3 foot, and it's about to go through, that's 5 feet.
Yeah, so maybe you want to go 6.
Well, theoretically, the wheelchair wouldn't be going along that distance.
Oh, wheelchair. You probably wouldn't get a wheelchair in there anyway because your bumpers aren't going to be, I don't think, 3 feet apart.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Nelson.
No.
I'm gonna have to use handicap access.
We could do some measurements in the 5 to 6 foot range. Add that into the private box if that's agreeable with the council. So next steps moving forward from here, Jeremy has prepared a resolution for you. He'll be approving the plans and specifications based on the discussion tonight. So you have all the proposed work for the base bid, alternate one, all the proposed work, and then option one for the parking lot. We'd advertise the project in your official newspaper and in the finance and commerce. We'd also post it on our SEH website, pretty standard practice.
They don't have the construction bulletin anymore, right? That went down a year or two ago, right?
Yep.
Nothing ever took that place, or?
So the only thing is the finance and commerce, we need the state trade bulletin. So by state law, we need to advertise for at least 3 weeks. So we'd advertise for 21 days. We'd have a public bid opening here at City Hall. And then we would tabulate those bids and then bring them back to you at your council meeting. And the date change on that, right, Jeremy?
June 16th.
June 16th. So we bring them back to your June 16th council meeting. We review the dollar amounts with you. It's at that meeting you'd make a decision on which alternates you'd want to move forward. And you could do any or all. You'd have the base bid and then you could choose one, two, or three, or it doesn't have to be in that particular order.
Right. Kind of pick and choose as we...
Absolutely, I'll start. So the action for the council tonight is the approval of the plan and specs, and we move forward with that step of the process.
Good, so if we do everything, we're tracking about $375,000?
Yes, I believe that's about the number.
And how much money do we have budgeted?
About 230.
So we're
basically going to have to look and see what bids come in.
And
then council's got to decide.
You probably have to eliminate something unless you get just fantastic bids, which may happen. I said at the last meeting, if you do eliminate one of these options, these plans will be ready to go next year to the draft.
They're shovel ready then.
So whatever option you don't use, we'll just package it up and that's your next budget.
And you did say that Jacob is the worst of the two, that one probably should be done first.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. When we went out and took a look at it, that's the one that we need the most work. So we've got them prioritized in the right order.
You know, ultimately when we started the budget process, the concept was to be able to do one of the streets and the parking lot. So I think, you know, we're within those parameters.
Absolutely.
So is there something that possibly, like the Sophia Railroad thing, you could possibly break out part by the mill and on Railroad Street from that part of the bid to take that part out of the street.
Well, the way we have it structured now, the council would have to accept all of alternate one, but then we could work with the contractor to do a change order to be part of it.
I mean, if the money is there,
and the bids come in good, yeah, like you said, you could do a change order.
It looked kind of crazy to go do the parking lot down there on the street to need more work, you know.
Yeah, I think there's probably some options there. Depending on who the contractor is, we can see if we can break it up even further.
Right.
I think for the purposes of bidding it, I wouldn't do any more alternates than what we have tonight. Yeah. See where things come in at, and then we can go from there.
I'll move to approve resolution number 2015-06.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve resolution number 2015-06. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. Hopefully.
You going to take care of the advertisement or?
We'll take care of that. Yep. I'll copy you on it.
Okay, yeah, CC. Perfect.
We just unplug here, Jeremy?
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to old city business and mosquito service.
I kind of read the email. It sounds like you have to pay a premium if you want Thursday spraying now, so.
But it didn't say how much the premium is.
No. I did talk to, not Rob, but a Brian. Erickson with mosquito control, And what they got now is they got certain cities now that are paying premium price. And he says he can figure it out for us if we want to do that. But it's going to be more.
Little ones.
But it's going to be more.
But he's pushing the little ones.
Really? Yeah, I talked to him. There's nothing in our contract that stated we want a Thursday spring. So they kind of got...
Yeah, I suppose they're the
that's
only
on the
ones
barrel,
around.
Because it's kind of open schedule to really all the contracts written. So.
Well, here, we got a contract, but yet we can't really look for somebody else because we got a contract.
Right.
Oh, that sucks.
But did the original contract specify Thursdays?
No, I just said it didn't specify that. No.
I wonder how much it would be because...
I mean, I can ask if you want to pursue.
You know, the season is coming. But it's pretty dry.
Because, well, I'm talking to that Brian, kind of what he said is, what you have, you can pay the extra, and you may be throwing that money away. Because it's a hit or miss with mosquito spraying, because it's a contact, what they do. Mm-hmm. So there has to be mosquitoes, and they have to be out when they come. If they're out Tuesday night, for some reason, and Thursday night they're not, you know, or vice versa. So kind of what it is the mosquitoes that are out. So one, it's a timing thing, he said. Two, it's they have to be out, and it's a population control more so than, or elimination more so than a population control. So it's kind of a hit or miss because it's on contact. So if the mosquitoes are out and they spray, it kills the mosquitoes that are out. You know, it's not like they spray that and then they're like, okay, we won't have mosquitoes for 2 weeks.
It's not like the state where they drop those pups.
Right.
And
right.
It's the larva performance into actual mosquitoes.
It's on contact versus preventive measure, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So.
But okay.
It's a hit or miss. And he says usually it's, what did he say, 7 to 10 days after it rains they hatch. So really it comes down to rain events too. So he says, you know, Sunday may be the best day to spray. He said, it's a gamble. It's a, you know,
well, I mean, at that rate, I mean, we've got it in our heads that they usually go out Wednesday or Thursday before Summerfest. So maybe that's just shooting it in the wind, too?
You know, maybe I can finagle with them and work that in, that they come. Yeah. That we're fine with that, but Summerfest week, they need to come. We'd prefer they come Wednesday or Thursday. I don't think that would be an issue.
I guess, yeah.
So, you know, kind of what he explained to me kind of makes sense. So, but yet, if it's a bad year, they're out every day.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, they could come on any given day of the week and they may be out or they may be not. I mean, that's...
But you know, last year with all the rain we had in June,
yeah,
I have to say, I didn't really have a problem with mosquitoes, but else or anything.
The biggest problem with mosquitoes is once they lay their eggs, eggs can lay dormant for 10 years.
Yeah.
They can still activate within that time. So it's like the guy said, it's hit or miss. So I guess that, you know, if they're going to do it Tuesday and it's cheaper, we might as well do it Tuesday.
I guess let's find out
what the cost is.
Deeper Thursday.
Yeah.
Just so we know.
Sure.
And then...
And then the Summerfest. Yes.
And everybody has to give a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll kind of settle on that. Purchasing policy, which is kind of thrown around last
year. Yeah, and I kind of checked with other cities, and most cities are very similar to us, so I just kind of...
Leave it at 1,000?
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking of that too. If there's something major, more, we got to prove it.
Yeah, so
and
most other
we
cities
say this
are...
We want to know.
Yeah, most other cities are quite similar to our policy, so...
All right. Anything else on the old, or is it the public works?
Well, I just wanted to report, Greg couldn't make it tonight. He had another arrangement before, you know, we had scheduled this meeting. He had a training he had to go to tonight. So I just wanted to report with Greg the stabilization pond seminar. We went for 3 days last week. Mm-hmm. Greg took his test on Thursday, hoping he passed. But we won't find out for 3 weeks, which I kind of think's Kind of crazy that.
3 weeks?
Yeah, that's what they told them.
It takes like 2 minutes to send it to the computer.
I figured they'd go through a computer and it's done, but hopefully we'll get it earlier than that. But so hopefully by next meeting we'll know where he's at. I don't really want to go there, but I know Greg's going to pass. I think he did well. But if it doesn't, or anyone that doesn't, you have to wait 90 days to retest. So we're just kind of waiting on that. Part-time summer help. I don't know. Can we spread the word a little more? One application.
Can we put it up on the center?
Yeah, I can do that.
You know, not everybody gets to normal times.
Yeah.
You want to forward it and I'll send it out for the team.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that might be around some interest.
Because, I mean, ideally, I think we said 12 weeks, 12 weeks, 20 hours a week, up to 20. So kind of a timeline we're looking now is probably June, July, August. That's kind of the main summer seasons, and probably, I think, what will work best. I'm sure Greg will probably start rolling this week. He'd like some help, but we're thinking June, July, August. Kind of the concept there, but only two people have picked up apps and one's returned it. So,
well, if you get the word out,
mm-hmm. I'll put it on the phone. And then just one other thing under Greg. He's been working at it. Been doing his diligence. I'll get that part done. But Hennings haven't got back to him. So he's going to have Hilgers come out. He said he has a small backhoe. He can maybe do the whole job.
Okay.
So he just kind of told Lenny to go ahead and do that. And then Hennings called him out and said they can be up Friday. So hopefully that will get done Friday. So it'll be open. And then at that same time, I told him to have Lenny come over and look at the shop at some options and people who we can talk to, because we've already kind of the decisions we come to on the city shop for them drains is to basically do the best we can to locate them, and then we're just going to cut out the concrete, cap off the one,
mm-hmm.
and cut out the concrete and try to connect it to the bathroom there in the basement. I mean, I'm to the point where I've told Greg, I said, you know what, let's just get somebody in here. We've got to start doing something. Yeah. We got to get going on it.
He's not going to put the salt
in. I mean, we wasted too much time.
Yeah.
And we talked to some people about doing a sump pump, and they said that's just not a good idea because of the new regulations and code. That would have to have sealed. It'd have to be sealed, and it'd have to be vented out. So now you're getting into, you know, more costs. So that's because of the radon gas. Exactly. So, so we ain't looking at that option anymore. We're just thinking the best option. Cut out that cement, reroute it, tie it into the bathroom there. We may have to take a little bit of the wall and whatever, but you know, we're probably going to have to take all that sheetrock and all that out anyways, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking that's the best option. So I told him Friday when Lenny comes, have Lenny go over there too and look at that and see if that's kind of our best option. So we can get going on them two items too.
So the water should be running in on Friday?
It won't be open. You know, I'm not promising it's open Friday. I'm not making any promises.
We might have to send your address until around there.
Yeah, but I guess, I don't know. When do you want to open the bathrooms? The porta potty will be here Friday.
It's here today.
It's here today.
Oh, it came today.
It looks like a little house.
Yeah, I know.
It's beige. It's kind of different shape.
I did tell her whenever the weekly cycle was, right?
So yeah, it must be today. I seen it tonight.
Okay, all right, so then it's there. So that's okay. I haven't been that way, that far yet. But so as far, yeah. I mean, they're saying it's supposed to be nice, but my only fear is like what looked last week. Got down to it was 22 degrees when we came to work when we went to our thing. So we don't.
I don't think that'll freeze it anymore.
But I think now we should be in the clear. So hopefully Friday they'll have it up. You know, I'm not guaranteeing they'll have it up and running Friday, but at least the project will be started.
Yeah.
You know,
as soon as they get it fixed, it should be able to be turned on.
Right.
Because I just know how things go. Well, we didn't have this. I got to come back Monday, and that's why with contractors, I've learned not to make promises.
Things happen.
Right. Yeah.
Did they ever get the wiring, the lights fixed in the fire station here that they wanted to do? So you turn that one switch and everything comes on?
Greg was going to get
I think he was getting another estimate.
One electrician.
Yeah, he had two of them. They're supposed to show up. They didn't show up. So now he's working on getting someone else out
here. Yeah, how about that gutter? Is that going to be up?
That's scheduled.
It's scheduled, but he said they were 2 weeks out, so we'd be close, but I don't, he hasn't followed up with anything on that with me. That's all Greg had to report, unless anybody has anything to bring back to Greg.
No, I'm fine with it. What do we got to do? One person can only do so much.
Yeah, and I think Greg's feeling a little pressured, but I told him to relax. Take it easy. Coming back from, you know, health issues. Plus, he had another week loss with conferences, but, you know, prioritize and get done what you can. So,
how's he feeling?
He seems to be pretty good. Spirit's getting better slowly. It seems to be a slow progression, but he looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. He just said he still gets swelling in his leg, but
if he keeps moving, it's better for him.
Right.
Coagulation.
Right. And he said he's got compression socks now. That's helping,
yeah,
too.
DVTs happen a lot to long-haul truck drivers because they sit a lot. And then, obviously, then they can break apart and work their way into the heart and or the lungs or wherever. When they get into the pulmonary vasculature like that, that's with the PEs, that's usually not a good thing. So, but they're highly treatable, highly manageable as well.
So, he seems in pretty good spirits.
All right, anything else?
Jeremy, talked over, or you want to mention anything about that jetter, what I talked to you about?
Well, some of the things me and Steve talked about, well, it's like, I think everything, like the jetter, the trailer, what was the other one, the sprayer, too, you've been talking, maybe the old sprayer you're getting rid of? But I think really what we should do is seal bids so that way it's kosher.
Yeah. I just didn't know if we had to have a motion that we're going to do that.
No, that's really the practice you should follow.
Yeah, that keeps it on the even keel.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise somebody will say it's favoritism.
Yeah, because then if it's somebody local buys it, then it's the, and we'd say, no, we put it in the paper,
That's what I had in advertisement for bids.
You know, it's kind of, that
listed.
Yeah, equal opportunity thing, so.
I mean, I just want to bring up so that everybody knew so we can get going on that and get that one thing out. Keep going on, because otherwise it's going to be another year and they're going to be occupying space again. We don't need that.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get much for the jetter, though, as the research Greg and Kurt have done, so. Just something we're going to have to eat, I think.
I mean, in the metal by the pond. All right, we'll move on to Jeremy.
One thing I got, and this is what our attorney talked about, meeting with the League of Minnesota Cities, come out and do a good government and meeting presentation they would do. And basically, all the dates they gave me is when I was on vacation. And I really feel this is something that all council members and employees should attend. I mean, it'd be good for everybody. So I asked for them to give me some new dates because they basically did March 11th through the 25th, and I was like, well, I ain't going to be here. May, sorry. Wish it was March, I guess. So then the dates they gave me was the 4th, 10th, and 15th. Well, I'm looking at that. Them are Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I know you have work, so really we're kind of left with the 15th of June. It's a Monday night, and then we have a council meeting the 16th. So I don't know what everybody's schedules are like. I mean, we have some time yet, so.
How long of a presentation is it?
Hour, they figured, at least.
It'd have to be a special meeting.
Yeah. Because they had said they'd prefer to do it outside a council meeting because it's at least an hour presentation then.
And this building's open.
I don't know. Well, I don't want to wait too long.
Should we set the date and There's something in the dress.
Is that Lions?
That's Lions Club?
Third Monday in it.
What was the other dates, Jerry?
4th and 10th, they're Wednesdays and Thursdays, I believe.
It don't matter to me what time it'd be, Saturday or...
Well, that's too darn early, getting the time making.
Yeah, because you're getting into everybody working until 6, 6:30, you know.
6:30 or something, but any time is good for me.
I'm off the line. He's got. I'll see what they have available for June and for Mondays and Tuesdays.
It's going to be a special meeting anyway, so it might just whatever.
Yeah, see you on 12 to accommodate.
Right.
I'm not sure that was the date. Yeah, what was it? June 4th, 10th, or 15th, yeah.
Yeah, she went to it. She had everything out.
Okay. I will check on that, try to... Any other dates that don't work, anybody know off the top of their head, so...
Well, the 9th of June is that other meeting here.
Yep, June 9th don't work. And Wednesdays and Thursdays. Well, and Fridays. I don't think we all want to sit here on Friday night.
June 9th, if we didn't hold it here, we held it at City Hall or
if it works for them.
Not if they need the projector, we have, you know?
I don't know.
If they don't, then we could hold it at the hall or
right.
At the park.
Park right.
Or there. On the 9th, that's a normal meeting at the hall.
Okay. I'll see if that can work. So, any Monday and Tuesday besides 15th?
Are you going to shoot an email or something
else? Yeah, I've been emailing back with the attorney with the league.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll keep you informed.
See what they can offer.
Okay, I'll work on that. I was hoping to get it done in May here, but I personally would like to be there for it too, so... let's see, the only other thing I have is my vacation. I think during my vacation, the only day, because we probably have to close offices, is May 20th, we looked at.
When is council meeting?
12th. May 12th. But I already told Sherry put agendas together, and right now there's nothing pressing. I really don't see that there's anything pressing with council right now. I mean, it's going to be the same discussions. I'm not guaranteeing, but I guess it can be some of the same discussions unless something comes up between, you know, here and there. And if there was something real pressing, I could attend the meeting if there's, you know, if there's something. No, it's kind of more a stay vacation because Emma's father... coming to visit, so. No, we won't have them until June 2nd, so that's why I said there's nothing pressing. You know, I don't see anything that council can't do. Well, Justin's not going to be here, so. I know he's... could be a possibility.
You need a motion on application?
No, you guys already proved that a while ago.
Anything else for Jeremy's? Otherwise, we'll move on to the April audit claims. Which are probably pretty clean here.
Yeah, just the only thing I want to head out, and Sherry can maybe help me with the claims. We had...
We added a check up on the top, check number 17322, that one Jeremy was talking about, right?
Yeah. So my question would be is if you're comfortable with that to approve that claim or you want to hold it. That's basically for the whole season. I mean, my suggestion would be is if they're in agreement to Tuesday and then coming out, that Thursday before Zomerfest, Wednesday or Thursday before Zomerfest, to pay it, because then we get a discount if we pay before the season.
I thought that was kind of a consensus
well,
here.
We're going to pay that much anyway. You might as well send them a check, and if we want it done Thursday, they can send another bill for the premium price or whatever.
Or find out what the premium price is. Say we want to do something next year.
So really what we had is in the April claims, we're just correcting that 17322 is emergency response solutions, which now that will be actually was check 17323. And then Floyd, there was two checks, 17323 and 17324, but when we printed out, combined them into one check. So Floyd Total Security will go from 2324 to 17324. And then 17322 will be an added claim. So that'll be the dollar amount change of 23-13-45. That'll be an added claim. So if you kind of look, we kind of put them back to back so you can kind of see the difference there and highlighted the ones, what we approved last meeting as to what we're looking to approve this meeting.
And what's the total?
So really the added claims, what we'd be doing is the changes in check numbers 17322 to 17324. And then the added two ATCH payments, add change in 17322 payment of 23-13-45, plus checks 17350 to 17367 for a total of 24,561.05.
Motion made and seconded to approve the additional April claims for a total of $24,561.05. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on. City Council reports. Mr. Odom.
I have nothing.
Mr. Bob.
Me.
Chris.
Had the Carver County Leaders meeting this morning. I got to meet the new council chair, Adam Lunick, I think his name, or he was there. Actually, it was pretty tame. The group did not dive in doing very hard. I think he did a good job when we first started speaking to use some of the potential venom that was about to be spewed out. So it'll be interesting to see going forward. We also have a new rep. I forget the gentleman who was our rep last year, but I think her name is Beth. The new one, and she made the assertion that she was going to come on at some point in time. All we have to do is just contact her.
Been years since we've had someone from that council.
Do they know we exist on there?
No, they did today.
Yeah.
So he spoke and we had a lot of questions were asked about him and some political commentary was made. And then we also had Marty and Sam from Aquatic Invasive Species Group for Herb County. They're up just talking about some of the plans that they're going to be doing going forward. Their budget went from $132,000 to $335,000, which they're going to be hiring 40 new people this year, mainly during the summertime, to be at the boat launches. They're also in the process of getting the deputies in Carver County trained to build the right citations. Right now, you have to be one of the DNR people to build the right citations. So, that'll be good. We're going to be out and about doing that. And other than that, that was pretty much all that was it. Our next meeting, which is going to be on the 28th of July, we're going to be talking about transportation funding and cost sharing. And then our last meeting of the year, it's October or we are going to talk about Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So, if there's any questions anybody has about those two topics that they want me to bring up while I'm there, let me know.
Yeah. You know, the Southwest, the new station, mm-hmm. one of
11,
or, oh, yeah.
Carver area.
Yep.
I've gone through there a couple of times during the day. You know, business days, there's really no cars there. I can't believe it. That costs a lot of money. They got room for tons, and it's just not utilized at all yet. Too bad.
It may be a moot point by then, but the light rail that's supposed to come to the southwest corner, it's over $2 billion is their estimate now, and it looks like Mr. Dayton's going to squash it, but they spent $2 billion on that thing that they did now, and it serves 2% of the state. I mean, what are they doing with our tax dollars? Pissing it away.
Yeah, Liam, in the Met Council, Council Chair, he did talk a little bit about that at the beginning, and he's not in favor of moving forward with light rail as it's presently presented, if that's the added cost is going to be that. And there's actually a number of groups that are that have contributed money to that, so it's just not all Minnesota taxpayer or all metro area taxpayer money to be used. There's a number of groups that I didn't realize that had been attributed money to that. Unfortunately, one of the groups that attributed $500 million, it can't be used for roads, at least not yet anyway, which would have been pretty nice because that could have helped out 212 very significantly.
Really?
And how was that project? Transportation, the next week. I think they got support. Now it's just waiting for the legislature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they're going to be talking about. Probably. Some of that will be in.
Yeah.
That would be nice. And some of the other projects. I don't think they've started the project between Laconia and Victoria yet, but that's going to come up here pretty quick. So if you need to go to Victoria, take County Road 10 or find an alternative road to get there and back.
Which way are you going to work on?
So,
5?
Yeah, from Island View down to the Dairy Queen in Victoria. They're going to make some changes to it and, you know, make some turn lanes in there and widen the shoulders.
Oh, well, it's rougher than it is.
Yeah.
That's going to be, that would be good because that road is so narrow in the first place.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else? Steve?
All I have is, I don't know if I should bring it up now or not, but that's just a few items.
Well, if you get it in the paper.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing I got is, on the closing the pond, I almost forgot to do the first time, but it's when I got it handled. You got 2 weekends here that still is open.
Mr. Odom stepped up and said he will fill them. So.
All right. We're good. In there. Other than that, I don't have anything else, so anything else from the council, I'll go ahead and look for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.